Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Somers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
And we are back, and we are very pleased to be back with Dan O'Dowd, who is now, of course, with the Major League Baseball Network, who spent years with the Indians and the Orioles, and, of course, GM for a number of years as well with the Colorado Rockies. Dan, thanks for a couple of minutes of your time.
Oh, Steve, thanks for having me on. Love your show.
Well, thanks for being a part of the program for sure. The number one rumor here in New York circulating today is about Mark Shapiro, who is the former GM of the Cleveland Indians and now the head guy with the Toronto Blue Jays. Is he, what do you hear about him becoming the new general manager of the New York Mets?
You know, Steve, I just heard that today myself. You know, I'm not an insider, so I'm not privy to information. I know Mark well. I hired Mark along with John Hart in Cleveland when he first got started in the game. Think exceptionally highly of him. He has got great leadership capabilities. Intellectually, he is off the chart gifted, and you know, he'd be an asset to a lot of organizations in the game. I'd be somewhat surprised because, you know, obviously he made a huge decision. Because he had been with the Indians since the beginning of his career to take on that job in Toronto, knowing that they were going to face some rebuilding. So I was somewhat surprised when I heard it today because I thought he was kind of locked into the Blue Jays for the foreseeable future.
But
things change in our game very quickly.
Yeah, well, and, you know, he's from, well, he actually, he's
from Baltimore, right.
That's right, yeah. And I know has a great reputation. We know he went to Princeton, but I think that's the only local connection that he has. He's more a Massachusetts guy, born in Cambridge, but he went to Princeton. But the bottom line is the guy who replaced him, interestingly enough, and I've got to get this in, Dan, is this kid, Chernoff, Mike Chernoff.
Yeah, his dad is right. I got it. I know the connection. Isn't that an incredible story?
His father's a legend.
Man.
His father is a legend, and his father signs my checks.
Yeah, that's great. What a great story. Mike's done it just. Mike and Chris Antonetti, for me, are absolutely one of the most dynamic duos in our game. They do such an incredible job with the Indians. And Mike is just a really, really gifted young executive in our game. And, you know, just also an exceptionally good person. So I can tell he was really raised well by both the mom and the dad.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. And Mark Chernoff, our boss here. He is the ultimate family guy, and I'm not just saying that because he's our boss. He goes to Cleveland just to play catch with his son running the Indians and then he'll play catch at the airport flying from New York to Cleveland. Mike will meet him at the airport. They'll play catch for a while, and then Mark gets right back on the airplane. And comes back to New York.
I'll tell you what, you know, it's evidenced by the way Mike treats people and how much he and his dad love one another. And there's nothing like, Steve, a father and son's connection around the game of baseball. So I'm sure he's so proud of his son, and he should be. And they both, as I said, have done a great job raising him. And I'm sure it's not a coincidence how talented Mike is.
All right, because we're on the Indians for a bit, and we'll talk about the Yankees and the Mets in a second, Dan. But because we're on the Indians, it has been the year of the Boston Red Sox. And the Indians were running away with the American League Central. Are we going to hear from them, really hear from them, come serious October baseball?
Well, the way it's set up now, they're going to have to get by the Astros first. And, you know, the defending world champions are a deep, talented team. You know, if the Indians can get – a couple things have to happen for me. One, they just need to keep Kluber healthy. They need to get Bauer back pitching again.
Mm-hmm.
Because those three guys with Kluber and then Bauer and then Carrasco, they can win any series, especially with the way Clevinger will round out.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get Andrew Miller back. And the wild card here for me is Josh Donaldson. If Josh Donaldson's anywhere close to being the player that he was in the past, he automatically just takes that lineup to a different direction. But the issue is they have to have all those ifs take place, and the teams that are in front of them right now, other than Sale's if, you know, they don't have a lot of those things going on. But in a series, in postseason, and I know this to be a fact, anything can happen. You know, Steve, there's skill and then there's luck.
Mm-hmm.
Through the course of a long season, skill takes over. But when you get into postseason and these small sample sizes, Lady Luck can change a series when these teams are as talented as they are exceptionally quickly.
The regular season for the Boston Red Sox, Stan, has been historic. And today...
Today was mind-boggling. But that's the kind of year the Red Sox are having. They signed Brandon Phillips to a minor league contract. He plays 44 games and comes up today in his recall day and wins the game for them. I mean, everything that they have touched this year has worked out. It's been a magical, magical year for them, and they've put themselves in this incredible position to be able to win a world championship. But again, as great a year as they've had, they can easily get beat by Houston, by Cleveland, or by the Yankees.
Yes, and here's, see, are they that good, or is it that this year in the American League, there are a lot of lousy teams? I mean, you got to give Boston all the credit in the world, that's for sure. But you're right. Everybody starts at 0-0 come serious October baseball. The bottom line is it that the Boston Red Sox are that good, or the rest of the American League is lousy?
Well, in their division right now, I mean, the Orioles are on the opposite end of the spectrum. As we know, historically, they're on pace. You know, I don't think they're going to push the 62 Mets. I don't think they're going to get quite there. But realistically, Steve, they're on pace right now to potentially lose between 112 and 116 games. So when you have the unbalanced schedule and you're playing the Orioles that much between them and the Blue Jays, you can really rack up a lot of wins because the division is not very good. But but on the other end of it, the Yankees are exceptionally good, and the Tampa Bay Rays, for me, has been one of the stories of the game this year as they sit here today, you know, 12 games over 500.
Yeah, no, and I bet, and certainly publicly, they're going to let us know that they're still in the hunt for the playoffs, although realistically, I think not. But the bottom line is, no, they've had a great season, and they have given the Yankees fits. Baltimore, now the Yankees sweeping Baltimore in their last four-game set, notwithstanding. But Baltimore, Tampa, we saw the Yankees just recently at home go 3-4 against the White Sox and the Tigers. The Yankees would be up there with Boston were they able to beat the dregs of the American League. The dregs of Major League Baseball, they have trouble with lousy teams.
They have, and that's probably a little unexplainable, but the Yankees are dealing, I think, for some fatigue issues, and I think the injuries have really, really hurt them at this point in time, too. I mean, Aaron Judge, for me, is one of the best players in the game. He's an all-around player. Any team at all that loses its best player for this long a period of time, you can cover up injuries for a short period of time, but the longer they drag out, the more devastating the effect has, because your other players that aren't as talented as that one individual player can't pick up the load over that long a period of time.
We understand that Judge, although originally the chip, the fracture with everything with the wrist, we were told 3 weeks. Well, it's been about 5.5, 6 weeks, and now some Yankee fans, they know he's going to come back before the start of the postseason, before October 3rd, when there's the wild card. Bottom line is, how effective is he going to be? That's number one. Number two, you have Gregorius. Now, I think he's going to be coming back in a couple of days, from what I understand. And then there's Chapman, their closer, who's lights out when he's on his game. And he may not be seen for the rest of the year. And for the Yankees, I mean, they're holding this lead over the incredible Oakland A's. Are you waiting like the rest of us are for the A's to fade, or do you think they will truly, seriously challenge the Astros, even though they don't play the Astros anymore? And do you think there's a possibility, Dan, the A's could be the number one wild card unless the Yankees turn it around?
No, on both counts. I believe the A's are for real. They've got a good young core to build around. They've done a remarkably smart strategic pivot in adding to their bullpen and building what really is a super bullpen, because it's easier to manage now in a 22-game season of what's left of this season. But no, I still think the Yankees are better than the A's, and I do believe that the Astros are significantly better than them. But again, in a one-game playoff, you know, if the Yankees get down in a one-game playoff like they did a year ago to the Twins, mm-hmm. they're in trouble, because the bullpen of the A's is that good. There's not a lot of soft spots. They basically could play matchup from the second inning on if they can get it through a clean first inning and an opener. Their bullpen is that good. So I think it would be a different challenge for the Yankees if they happen to fall, you know, down like they did a year ago in the wild card.
And last night we saw with Familia, who couldn't find the strike zone, and we saw with Fernando Rodney, they didn't look so terrific, Dan.
Yeah, they didn't. But, you know, relievers are a lot like position players when they're pitching this much. They're going to have games where they're not perfect
right.
overall, but they do have stuff that can light you up. And they've got experience back there now, which should help slow their heartbeat down when the games are on the line the most.
And here's another thing. The Yankees have been carried of late. Stanton has been very cold, no Judge in the lineup. Sanchez just got back, and he's hustling. We don't know. He has maybe one or two hits. That's about it. But he is hustling. And the bottom line is that the Yankees of late, when they have been winning, and it's been a little bit of 50-50, carried by two young players who are to die for, Dan O'Dowd of the Major League Baseball Network. We're talking about Andujar and Torres, and these guys are not even old enough to drive, and they are driving the Yankees.
Yeah, and what's cool about that, Steve, is the fact that here's a team that's really a superpower, a premier team in our game, and yet Cash and his group have kind of let the development of these kids take place at the major league level. And now that's set them up for years to come, because they truly have two impactful young players getting incredible experience on one of the best teams in the game and playing a vital role in the process of helping them win. So the residual value of this is going to be beneficial for the Yankees for absolute years to come, because they get two more young core players at the beginning of their major league career.
On the radio station, the Yankee fans, baseball fans in general, are trying to figure out who would start the wild card game for the Yankees. Would it be Severino? Would it be Tanaka? Or Jay Happ, who has been just very, very good. He wasn't good last Thursday night against the Chicago White Sox. He gave up a number of runs, a number of hits in 10 minutes. But the bottom line is Jay Happ has been terrific. Not so much Lance Lynn after getting off to a good start. Who would you start if you had this game, the wild card game, tomorrow?
Well, if it's tomorrow, I'm starting Happ, but I have to tell you, I make these decisions, and I learned painfully in my career that all the planning and the analysis I did way ahead of time doesn't mean anything, because things change so much. So for me, Steve, you wait to the very end. You play the hot hand. You see who's pitching best at the end of the year. You see how the A's, you know, lineup is shaping up at that point in time. Because whoever you do start with the Yankees bullpen, assuming Chapman gets back, they're going to be on the same short leash that the A's starter is going to have. So right now, Happ, for me, is throwing the best of the grouping. But he may not be at the end of this month, and I am definitely going to play the hot hand in that one-game playoff.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what the Yankees are going to do as well, even though Tanaka has some experience, and we certainly know that Severino started the season as the ace of the team. The second half has been a little bit with the aforementioned fatigue and a little, not so much the loss of velocity, but maybe a little bit of fatigue since the All-Star break with Severino, although he does seem to be coming around a little bit. Let me ask you a little bit before we let you go, Dan, about the Metropolitans. They did not trade any of their starting the four guys from their starting rotation, and one of them with an ERA of 1.68, we think he should win the Cy Young.
I agree with that completely. I think he is, for me, the Cy Young Award winner as we sit here today.
Dan O'Dowd, ladies and gentlemen, our new best friend.
Don't think it's really that big of a debate, to be honest with you. I think Nola and Max Scherzer certainly deserve consideration, but I think Jacob deGrom is having, you know, absolutely historic year in the sense that he may not even have a winning record, and yet he could still win the Cy Young. That's how good his qualitative numbers have been.
It has 25 consecutive starts in which he has allowed three or less, and it's mostly the less part. He doesn't give up anything, and he gets no run support, and he is such a mensch. He is such a—he always says the right things. He's a class act, man.
Oh. He's one of my most favorite players in the game. A player every young pitcher should try to emulate. He does everything right.
Go on the Major League Baseball Network when you're next there and refer to him as Jacob Cy Grom.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Thank you very much. And you don't even have to give me credit.
Although, I will do that. I don't. If it's not an original idea, I always have no problem giving somebody credit.
By the way, your Rockies, I mean, the guys that you drafted, Arenado and Blackman.
Thank you for recognizing that. Kyle Freeland and, you know, you look on that field right now, and it's Iannetta was a drafted player, and DJ LeMahieu was a traded player.
Yep.
Story was a drafted player. Arenado was a drafted player. Dahl was a drafted player, Cargo was a traded player, and Blackman was a drafted player. So, though people may not remember that, I still have my handprints all over that.
And don't forget Chad Bettis.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad Bettis and Tyler Anderson and Jonathan Gray and Kyle Freeland, so the core of that rotation. I at least had some part in anyway.
Yeah, no, to be proud of. And Matt Holliday also, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, Matt Holliday, I inherited it from Bob Gebhardt, who had done a great job before I was there.
All right. Listen, Dan, a million thanks for a couple of minutes of your time. Always a pleasure when we have you on and to hear you with other shows on the radio station.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and I'll hang up and I'll enjoy listening to the rest of your broadcast.
Okay, and give us a call because we have lines opened.
All right, thanks so much.
You got it, Dan. Dan O'Dowd, former GM with the Rockettes and with the Indians and the Orioles, and now with the Major League Baseball Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.